Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is a football Monday here on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all sorts of pre-owned inventory. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Excellent service department and sales staff, and they'll get you hooked up with whatever you need, whether it's a state inspection, a simple oil change, maybe you got to change a couple parts. They're all there for you at Sunbury Motors and sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or head to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business. All your insurance matters to protect what matters most, all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com, the true pros in insurance matters. And another loaded show coming up today as well. Of course, we got to get into everything from Wild Card Weekend and Penn State Men's Hoops with another good showing, despite some offensive woes yesterday. No Seth Lundy, but they lose in a close one to Ohio State yesterday. But today we have Tom McCarthy. Of course, you know him as the Phillies TV voice on NBC Sports Philly, but you see him doing the NFL on CBS. You hear him on Westwood One. And he did the Eagles-Bucks game yesterday with Ron Jaworski. So he's going to join us at 4:06 today. And Frank Bodani, our buddy from the York Daily Record, joining us too at 3:35 to break down the latest in the Penn State football offseason. So that's what's coming up today. Now we go to what happened over the weekend. And I want to start with the Eagles first. I want to start with the game itself and then kind of talk big picture with them. The game itself, I just didn't understand the game plan at all. And to me, like, again, it's kind of been that way this year. Nick Sirianni has been kind of takes one step forward, then two steps back. That's kind of what happened yesterday. He didn't put Jalen Hurts in good positions to win. Now, Jalen Hurts was terrible yesterday. You know, let's not totally put this on the coach here. But the game plan, I just didn't understand. After force-feeding Devontae Smith the week before in a meaningless game just so he can get the rookie record, that's fine. But then you don't target him until there's 3 minutes left in the first half? Now, I get it. The Eagles didn't have the ball a whole lot, especially in the first quarter. They went three and out. Tampa had two long drives. But then on that second drive, where they start to throw the ball a little bit, again, they're trying to establish the run game. That's fine. But then you're throwing the ball to Miles Sanders, which, yeah, he's a playmaker, but he's got the dropsy sometimes. You're going to Quez Watkins. Okay, not great. And it took even a while for Dallas Goedert to get involved in the game. You didn't put the ball in your best player's hands sometimes, especially when you need it to get things going and you're falling behind early. And then there were numerous times, third and short, third and three, third and two, throwing the football. I mean, yeah, third down, okay, I could see running it, but when you've had a lot of success running the ball with Jordan Howard on third and short after you've worked in the running game using Miles Sanders, and you don't go to him at all? Jordan Howard, I think, only had maybe one touch yesterday. Like, where was he? Unless something came up with his injury that we just didn't know about. I just didn't get it yesterday. I think he overthought a lot of things, like a lot of NFL coaches do, and it came back to bite him in the rear end. Now, blame goes around when you get down 31-0. The quarterback was terrible. He didn't see the field well at all. He made some really poor decisions. But again, Jalen Hurts also ran the ball a lot yesterday. Up the middle. Design quarterback runs. Again, when you have Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, who have done so well for you in creating a 1-2-3 punch in the run game. Remember early in the season when you were making Jalen Hurts do all these things? It wasn't making your quarterback successful. It was making him struggle. Putting him in these bad situations. Putting him in these situations where he's made mistakes. That's what I kind of saw yesterday. Now, again, Jalen Hurts needs to see the field better and not make some of the poor decisions he made yesterday. But he was not put in a very good spot to be successful yesterday. Offensive game plan was just terrible.
Who?
Jalen Hurts.
Who was it? He didn't play well.
He didn't play well, but I think the game plan set him up to fail as well.
Always, okay. I want everybody to remember something. And I've said this a lot, and I'll say it again. Okay? You cannot scheme your way around talent. Belichick couldn't do it. Okay? Last year, when they're all banged up, everybody talks about Kyle Shanahan. Last year, he couldn't do it. He can't do it. All right? And guess what? Okay? I expected the Eagles to get blown out yesterday, as you know, last week, and they got blown out.
You did call it.
And there's a reason why I called it. There's a reason why. Okay? Because they're not good enough. They're not good enough for that game. They're not good enough talent-wise. They don't have enough people. Hey. A year from now, it may be completely different. But in that game, I'm looking at the matchup. I mean, the matchup was horrible. And the moment is too big for your quarterback. You know, scheme, that's baloney. Okay, that's the tailgate stuff. It's a scheme. If I hear people talk about schemes one more time, you have no idea what the hell the scheme is. I sit there all week and I look at what the scheme is. All week, practices, over and over again. I know what the scheme is when they go in. And people tell me the scheme, well, they didn't do this, this. I'm sitting there going, it wasn't the scheme. But that's okay. I'll let you talk. Go ahead. You know, I'm supposed to be polite here. I'll let you talk. I mean, you want to know why the Eagles lost? Aren't good enough. Finally played a quality team. Not good enough. Now, a year from now, Smith's a year older. That offensive line matures a little bit. Another year under the belt for Jalen Hurts. Those three draft picks that they have, which should increase the depth of this team. Okay? Now you get into a game like that, you know, and like team like Tampa Bay's a little bit older. Maybe they lose a couple guys, right? Okay? The circumstances change. Because Tampa Bay brought everybody back, so they're all together. Now they're a little longer in the tooth, or maybe a couple guys now end up leaving, whatever. Now the dynamics change. That's the change of the league. But on this day, at this hour, the Philadelphia Eagles flat out are not good enough to play in a game like that.
And I do agree with that.
And I knew that. That's just because of the time and place, the experience versus the lack thereof. Okay, that's not being cruel, or that's not being vindictive in any way, shape, or form. That's just in this time and place, their quarterback, their experience, their offensive line, Wirfs, Donovan Smith, all those guys, their defense with, you know, third against the run, Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, getting JPP back, all right? You know, getting Carlton Davis back, who missed a whole chunk of the season, playing in the defensive backfield. It's just the wrong matchup. Playing down there, it's the wrong matchup. At this time and place. Now, a year from now? A year from now? A little more experience, three more draft picks infusing talent, you know, things like that. You might get a different result. In fact, the game might not even be in Tampa, because that's the way the league is designed. But the Eagles are going to have a tougher road to hoe next year, too. They're going to have to do it with a second-place schedule. And that's going to be part of it. I'll tell you what the biggest saving grace for the Eagles was yesterday. Without question. The biggest saving grace. The Dallas Cowboys. All right,
you're absolutely right.
Because your performance was so bad, and it was bad.
Yes.
All right, as was the Patriots' performance, was so bad. As was the Steelers' performance, which was so bad. Okay? But I expected all three. Remember we were doing the picks on Friday?
Yes.
I said Chiefs will win big. The Bucs will win big. I said the Bills will win big. You hated all my picks.
No, I thought you were spot on with all your picks. I just had that good feeling that obviously was a dumb feeling about the Eagles.
Oh, it's okay to root for your team. I think that's great. I think it's great to support your team. I think it's great to go in with hope they're going to win. But I'm neutral. Okay, remember, I'm neutral. Hey, I don't care if the Bucks win. I don't care if the Eagles win. I don't care. So I can objectively look at it and say, you know what? I hate this matchup. Right? This matchup is a bad matchup. I'm looking at an experienced team that's been around the block, that's getting some people back. Yeah, they don't have Godwin, but they've been playing without Godwin for a few weeks now. Okay? I knew they weren't going to have Fournette either, but they've got enough to, in other areas. The matchup wasn't good for Philadelphia; it just wasn't. A year from now, they're a little older. They lose a couple of guys here and there who finally move on to whatever they want to move on to, and the Eagles get a little bit better, a little bit stronger. The matchup may be completely different. And I'll tell you, Philadelphia's better. I mean, that's just, I mean, Belichick is as fine a coach as you're going to see in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, as fine a coach as you're going to see. You cannot scheme your way around talent. You can't. I know everybody, in the coaching matchup, whatever, it's like, I mean, I watched the winning coach for the 49ers yesterday take his left tackle and move him to right tackle, on a quarterback sneak.
Yes. That was incredibly dumb.
I sat there and went, like, stop telling me he's a genius, right? Like, he's starting to think he's a genius. Hey, guess what? Last year you won. When'd they win? How many games did they win last year?
5 or 6, I think it was. It wasn't.
Right. You can't scheme around talent. They had injuries left and right. He couldn't scheme around it. Okay? You can't do it. It's amazing. You can draw up all the plays in the world you want, and if one, and especially two, can't run the play, you can't use the play. The Cowboys, 14 penalties, undisciplined. Okay? Randy Gregory is a perfect example of what I say all the time. If you are a first-round pick, you have to play your way out of the league. Because they'll give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because they see the talent. Yesterday, he stunk. Offsides. Right? On the backside of a play, he tackles an offensive lineman? What, do you think he had the ball? 14 penalties, How many years have you been playing quarterback in the league? You do know the official has to touch the ball, don't you? What are you calling a quarterback draw there for? I mean, after watching that series of play calls, Kellen Moore's probably going to be the Jags coach. All right. holy mackerel. A quarterback draw with no timeouts remaining? What are you doing? You could have taken two shots at the end zone from 40 yards out with a guy with his arm. Come on. It was absurd watching that yesterday. I mean, that's the saving grace for the Eagles. As bad as you were, and you were bad.
It certainly made the loss much better.
Right.
Seeing the Cowboys the way that ending was.
The Cowboys, that was as bizarre a performance. Right? I always love, oh, Shanahan, he's a genius. He gave the ball to Deebo Samuel. No offense, I, too, could scheme a couple of plays for Deebo Samuel, okay? If you don't mind.
Kyle Shanahan and big leads just don't mix.
Well, but Kyle Shanahan and McVay's tonight, those guys get like, oh, and the pre-snap motion. Look, I got it.
I hate that, too.
You know how many guys I see use pre-snap motion? A lot of people do. Okay, you're trying to find certain things. You're trying to mask certain things. My goodness, when O'Brien was here, it's window dressing. Okay, everybody's using window dressing. Okay, they do a good job with window dressing. Great. Okay, but that doesn't make him Jonas Salk. All right, come on. Now there's a genius. Okay, it's Shanahan has how many Super Bowl rings? Okay, we're done.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder.
I think he's really good at what he does. But I get sick and tired. He's a genius. It's like, you know how many guys I've heard over the years? He's a genius. Then they have no talent. He's not a genius. Okay? It's the person that is not a good coach that has talent and botches it up. Okay? With talent, you can come up with a lot of different things. He's had some talent to work with over the years. I mean, when he was in Atlanta, Matt Ryan played well. He had Julio Jones. He had a lot, he had some people. Okay? Last year with the 49ers, they had a lot of guys get hurt. How smart did he look then? Now he's got people back. And by the way, I think, wasn't Deebo Samuel hurt last year? I think he was banged up.
He was, I believe, yeah. One of the many injuries they had last year.
Right, so that means, and Bosa was hurt. I mean, they had a lot of guys hurt last year in San Francisco, a lot of guys. But you can't scheme around it. Okay, now you've got comparable talent, one team against the other. You can come up with some plays because your talent's good enough, and maybe you can get them out of position to make some plays. That part I've got. I understand that. But when there's a talent disparity, you rarely can scheme your way out of it. Okay? You hate when I do that.
No, I agree. And I agree. And I'm still not necessarily sure that Jalen Hurts is the guy. I think he's earned another year, but this is a big offseason for everybody.
Well, look, I think long term he is your guy. I mean, to be honest with you, you always have to ask an essential question. The essential question you always have to ask is, if not him, who?
Exactly. I think that's where the Eagles are right now.
And that's where they are right now. I always say that about coaches. If not him, who? I mean, don't just fire a guy to fire a guy, right? Have something in mind as like options A, B, and C before you do something. Same thing with this. Options A, B, and C. What do I do at quarterback? I think for the foreseeable future, he's your quarterback. All right? And I think there are ways you can win with him. He won some games for you this year. Yesterday,
the moment was bad.
the moment was too big. He didn't. I mean, the interception in the end zone was just.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a bad play by him. He's going. He's rolling to his left, because Dick had the game on his phone. It was at halftime. We're looking at it going, well, that was an absolutely awful play.
Yeah, he just saw it too late. It was the whole thing. He just did not see the field well at all yesterday.
I don't know how he couldn't have seen him that play too late. He broke. I mean, he was open, right? And not only was he open, it was his primary receiver. Now, maybe because he was rolling to his left, he couldn't get himself square enough to throw it, so he took a couple of extra steps to do it. That's possible, okay? It's possible. But, look, you had to know at the end of the first quarter that, you know, somebody in the back had a white flag and they were ready to run it up, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, in fact, on the coin toss, I already had one in my hand. It's not a good sign. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com.
Every year can bring new challenges. Your insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. 2022 has begun, and now is the perfect time to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. We have the experience and knowledge to help you protect what matters most. You can contact our office at 570-286-5855 or online at purdyinsurance.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Wonderful to be with you today. Got some snow falling around here right now. Plenty of snow falling around here right now. And then they'll finally back off. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat. I'm not so sure you're thinking on this particular day about your boat insurance. Matt has eight. Motorcycle. It is all at, you can get it all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And when you look at your insurance needs, I mean, you really feel like somebody can, you know, like be a caretaker for your policy. Okay? Well, they do that. It's all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. And, you know, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great new inventory. Go to sunburymotors.com right now to check out the great inventory, especially the pre-owned inventory. Trading's never been worth more. A note after the opening segment, Matt wants to trade me and thinks I've never been worth more. Oh, well, it's not. Service department inspections, routine, difficult to handle alone. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, was 11 at 15, Hubbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Get to Frank Bodani in a moment. Purdue in double overtime today beat Illinois. Top two teams of the Big Ten head-to-head today in Champaign. It's MLK Day, so they played a noon game today, 11 o'clock Central Time. And took double overtime. Purdue won it. Boy, talk about matchup of big guys. Travion Williams, Zach Edey, Caleb First, Kofi Coburn. That's some big man stuff right there. That's what's interesting about the Big Ten. And I think there are times where it costs them in the NCAA tournament. It is a big man power league right now. It really has been that way for a long time. It is not a high athlete speed league, and I think they'll get into some games in the NCAA where, oh, the Big Ten. Remember last year I said that the Big Ten was not going to fare well in the NCAA? I said last March. And that's the reason why. I said, the Big Ten's not going to do well in the NCAA. Oh, no, they got no. No. I said, the league is not as good as it was in 20. In 20, they had some teams because Michigan State was really athletic. Penn State was really athletic. I mean, they had some really athletic teams in the league. Big Ten doesn't have any athletic teams in the league right now. They had some really good teams that play good team basketball, good defense. Can run the floor with some efficiency, but they're not very athletic. That's why Jaden Ivey stands out so much. He is the premier athlete on the basketball floor in this conference. And he stands out because you're like, oh, okay, who's second? I don't know. It's like when we go to the company photo. I mean, the suit's so dominant. There really is nobody that's second.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
No. All right. Let's get to Frank Bodandy, York Daily Record. By the way, this is the last day you can declare for the NFL draft. So now you're starting to at least get out. Oh, but I got to give you one quick one. Okay. Hunter Johnson, five-star quarterback Clemson, can't beat out Lawrence. I know you're shocked by that. So he transfers, and he goes to Northwestern. Sits out a year, spends 2 years there at Northwestern. Nothing happens. Okay, Peyton Ramsey beat him. Put himself in the transfer portal. Guess where he ended up at? Come on, you can do this.
Pitt.
No, he ended up back at Clemson. All right, well.
Oh, my almighty!
You can't make this stuff up.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right. So let's turn to Frank Bodandy, York Daily Record. Sir, always a pleasure.
Going well.
It's going great. Frank, let's start with Noah Kane. In what is at the moment a crowded backfield, he has decided to transfer out. He ends up at LSU. What were your thoughts?
Well, I figured at least one or two of those guys was going to leave. It just was which one. Noah kind of makes sense because to me, still has a lot of potential, already tasted success. Had some tough times, and maybe just a new beginning. You know, he did look healthier to me in the bowl game.
Yes,
looked like got some of his surge back, and you know he's going to LSU, and he's from the South, and you know it makes sense to me. I think Penn State fans respect him and the way he's handled himself, and are rooting for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he's going back home to Louisiana, so I mean that's. That's his home area. He's going there, and I agree there. I think a lot of people, a lot of fans around here, are like Noah Kane. They do respect him a lot, and I think a lot of people are hoping he does really well down there.
Yeah, I think they like the way he handled himself in a tough situation. I mean, it's still a crowded room. It'll be interesting to see to me if everybody else stays.
Yeah,
because you still got five guys that are big time recruits and talents, and you know we know that five don't play. unless you get a couple guys knocked out to injury, it's a position worth monitoring going forward for sure.
No question about that. All right, so the players that have come back now, they've got until Monday to declare for the draft. All right, then after that, you know your roster is set, except for the portal part of it, obviously. But Mustafa and Clifford are the two that are coming back. You and I have talked about this before, but is there a domino effect when two leaders like that say they're going to come back, or do you feel like it's every man for himself?
I don't know. I mean, I think there seemed to be a little bit of a domino effect last year with some of those guys. I don't know this year. To me, I just have a more it's every guy for himself, not in the selfish kind of
Right.
But
look
at everybody's situation's different. I mean, if TJ doesn't get hurt at the time that he does, then I think his situation is probably different.
Right. He should be gone. If he doesn't get hurt, he should go.
Or if he gets hurt earlier, or I don't know. I mean, but yeah, certainly that. And there's, you know, and he's worth watching because I mean, everybody loves the guy and his effort and the way. But you know, how is his recovery going to go? I mean, we don't really know exactly how serious the surgery or the injury was, but I guess more importantly, the comeback. So is he going to be ready to roll at the beginning of the year? It's probably a real smart decision.
Right. No question about that. When you look at the how did you feel the first time a guy entered early for the spring? I'm going to go back, I think, at Ohio State, Maurice Claret, I think, is the first guy I can remember going into college early. And I think here, I want to say it was Dan Connor. What did you think then, and what do you think now?
I think then I thought, how the heck would I ever pull something like that off, even without playing the sport?
Exactly.
How the heck are these guys going to adjust like that? I mean, it always made sense from a football perspective. Mm-hmm. I just thought to myself, you know, that is the last several months of your kind of sometimes the best time of your schooling life.
Right.
So now it's almost, it's just routine, right? And I mean, in a certain position, you almost expect guys to do it, right? If they really want. I mean, look at this incoming class. I mean, the two quarterbacks almost need it, don't they? I mean, if you can pull it off, you need it. I mean, it's so – what a benefit, I would think. I mean, I don't know the statistics on how it plays out, but to be able to adjust to college and go through winter conditioning and spring practice and have all that to help you before other guys even get there, I mean, that's and these quarterbacks, I mean, and this class in particular, you could make an argument to me it's James Franklin's most important one as to where this team goes, this program goes, and big-time guys that are in there early, because unlike aside from the quarterbacks, the running backs that are coming in could play early as well, and they could be big players. This could really help them.
Well, what's interesting is that I think now the fans were like let's say 15, 16, 17, 18 years ago, they're like, "Are you going to college early? Enjoy your senior year." Now fans, I think, are disappointed when somebody doesn't come in early. I think the fans have adjusted. Well, what do you mean, deny Dennis Sutton's not coming in until May? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we've still seen guys that have come in the spring, summer, and done well right soon.
Right.
I mean, I don't think Parker Washington came into the summer, did he?
No, he didn't come in until the summer.
I mean,
and he played.
He looked like he came in January.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of guys that fall into that boat that have the ability to finish out high school based on their credits and so forth, and then you go from there. I don't think that's an issue.
No.
But I marvel at the change in attitude. That's what I get. I marvel at.
And the transfer portal is so new. How are people's attitudes going to change in regards to that and people's attitudes and players sitting out the bowl games? I mean, that's going to take a little bit of time, I think.
I think that's going to take a lot of time for fans because, again, now I'm old fashioned. I admit it. To me, a game's a game. And, you know, a commitment's a commitment. That's the way I've always been. But you know, I understand where they're going with this, but I don't want to hear about Mechie and about James and Williams. Oh, they played. Look what happened to them. They were both non-contact injuries. They could have happened in a 7-on-7 drill in Orlando working out. You and I both know that.
Right. I mean, some injuries don't even. Yeah. I mean, Penn State has had guys getting injured, and that did not happen in football practice.
Right. It didn't happen in football, even in practice. Or I can tell you right now, the first ACL that Mike Motti had three of them. The first ACL he had was absolute non-contact. I was in Beaver Stadium. he was in the 10-yard line in the student section, right? And all he was dropping into coverage, mm-hmm. and all he did was just, it was just one of those, you know, shadow drop back and cut. When he cut, it went.
Right.
Yeah,
sure.
It's, I mean, that's about what happened to Williamson and Williams and Mechie along the way. College football playoff is right now. It's just circling a fogged-in airport. Jim Phillips of the ACC is saying, "Hey, look, I don't want to go any further with this right now." Okay, I mean, which is his prerogative. What do you think of all this? Because it seemed to me like that at least the idea should have been easy, and then the details would be difficult.
What is up with Jim Phillips, Steve? He can have his own opinion, and he can say everybody in ACC is go along with him, but I don't understand it. I don't get his opinion. How's that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't get it at all, especially his situation. You're the ACC commissioner. You've got a TV contract that goes for, what, 13 more years that has incremental increases in it, so you're not going to hit any financial home run, right? You got an ACC network that isn't on in a lot of parts of the country. You know, your conference champion wasn't even close to getting into the 4-team playoff this year. And they need cash, and I don't understand where he's coming from.
No, I mean, Pitt would have been in, obviously, a
12-team
playoff.
Yeah.
And they would have had their players play. Their quarterback would have played.
Yep.
And who knows what can happen? Because you know what? I mean, I think you're going to get more of what you see the same as until you get the 12-team playoff, because Alabama needs a chance to be knocked off. Well, if all they do is prepare for two games, I mean,
right.
look at the list of who's made the playoffs how many years with just four teams. You're not going to see that, I think, with 12, because there's going to be more room for error for these teams. And a team like Pitt could have really taken advantage of their, I'm not saying their only good year, but I mean, everything's aligning kind of for them, right, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
A playoff would have given them a chance to ride that. I mean, to me, I don't see where, and they're worried about extra games.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Right
now they played one that nobody cared about. So why don't we just get rid of that one? Because your players didn't come, or your best player, and take that out and replace it with something valuable, right?
Well, what I said earlier was, as Phillips said, I've talked to the Clemson players. They don't want to play extra games. And I said, you got to give Clemson credit. They took care of that all by themselves this year. They didn't.
Well, and they did well with, I guess, the 4-team playoff. But I don't.
Oh yeah,
Bob's
saying. Right, Bob's saying though, right. This year Clemson made sure they didn't play extra games. Nah, we don't want to play extra games. I could just lose.
All right. Yeah.
Frank, it's always a lot of fun.
Take care.
We'll have Rich Scarcella final half hour. Tommy McCarthy, who I guess the biggest plus out of working yesterday's game for Westwood with the Eagles was that he got paid.
and doing the game with Jaws.
Like I said, he got paid. So in the end, you got to remember it's about paper.
Maybe he took a trip down, an early trip down over to Clearwater, a short drive to Clearwater. I don't know. Just because.
I was going to say, to do what? Luke tells me Tommy had another. First of all, I think he was coming from another game to begin with. He worked with Romo the week before.
Yeah, filling in for Nance because he was in COVID protocol.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Jerome Boger and his crew will not be working any more NFL playoff games this year. Yep.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
But let me say that Alex Kemp and his crew in the Cowboys game, you watch replay after replay after replay, they got him all right. The end of the game, where he ended the game, he got that one right too. They got him right. There, I have no complaints about the officiating in the Cowboys 49ers game. None. What did they get wrong? They didn't get the end of the game wrong. Cowboy fans can gripe all they want. You didn't get the end of the game wrong. Your offensive coordinator, your head coach, and your quarterback got the end of the game wrong. But the official has to put the ball in place. An official has to touch the ball. Remember what I said about Deflategate over and over again. Three officials handle the ball on every single play. You're telling me they didn't notice the ball was underinflated? Really? Not one of them picked up on it? I've said that over and over and over again about officials touching the ball on every play. And on that play, you saw it graphically, the official had to put the ball down. You can't just put it down and go. This is not sandlot time. For some reason, with 14 penalties and that play at the end, the Cowboys obviously have a lot of guys that don't know the rules. All right, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.